Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. We've got a great day today. Michael Ratner in our second hour from the Center, or the third hour, excuse me, from the Center for Constitutional Rights is going to be on. He has a new book out, The Trial of Donald Rumsfeld, A Prosecution. And also we'll be asking the question, why was Dick Cheney so quick to admit that he's a war criminal? Michael Ratner, the attorney who has now successfully argued four cases before the Supreme Court, defending detainee rights down in Guantanamo, the guy who got the country of Germany to nearly arrest Don Rumsfeld. Last time he was there, Rumsfeld slipped out of the country just in time. So that should be an interesting one. Bob Fitrakis or Cliff Arnebeck will be with us today, too, about the death of Mike Connell. And we'll be getting into that, I believe, in our second hour. We're going to be talking about global warming. But right now, Lawrence Yun is with us. He is the chief economist of the National Association of Realtors. And Lawrence, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being with us. The 60 Minutes 2 weeks ago, I'm assuming that you saw that segment that they did where they suggested that because of, forget subprime mortgages, because of prime mortgages, normal mortgages that were sold in a couple of different varieties, including these so-called option arms, adjustable rate mortgages, that there is another wave of bad mortgages about to hit the United States. Your thoughts on this?
There is another wave of loans that will be resetting. Therefore, it will require some resets on the adjustable rate mortgages. However, because the Federal Reserve last week essentially put the short-term interest rate to zero, some of the resetting burden, rates would not be as burdensome as forecasted. So that provides some relief. However, housing market is still not on track. There needs to be some focus from policymakers to address the home prices, because as long as home prices continue to decline, that will mean higher foreclosures and higher redefault loans on some of the recently modified distressed mortgages.
Last week, I believe it was, Tom Friedman had an op-ed, and then today Paul Krugman in the New York Times. Friedman's was basically saying that we're locked in a symbiotic relationship with China. They do our manufacturing. We buy their stuff. What he didn't mention is that this really does not inure any benefit to Americans. It inures benefit, tremendous benefit, to the people that Tom Friedman loves so much, transnational corporations and billionaires, he being a billionaire himself. And Paul Krugman, oddly enough today, essentially echoing Tom Friedman and saying, you know, yeah, we're not going to change our trade policy, and monetary policy is probably not going to help us out. So there's no solution coming. You can forget about manufacturing coming back to the United States. And therefore, things like the housing price collapse, you know, that was just a bubble, and it's not going to reinflate. What are your thoughts on the future of housing in the United States and how it's tied into these other parts of our economy?
Well, one thing about the U.S. is that we are in a dynamic growth society. Right now, we're in a temporary economic downturn, housing market very challenged. But nonetheless, regarding housing, we have to understand that there's 3 million people being added to the country every year. So if one looks down more longer term, say 10 years, 5 years, you know, we are looking at 15 million or 30 million additional people in the country, and they all will need some place to live. And the home builders have sharply cut back on their production activity over the past 2 years. So if it is the case that we have a growing population and builders cutting back. That just naturally means that the housing market will stabilize at some point. But the bigger question is about China providing, in essence, buying U.S. Treasury and hence keeping the interest rate environment very low. If China does not do that, the interest rate environment would be much higher in America.
Regardless of where the Fed sets it?
That's right.
Yeah. So, boy, so our fate is really in the hands of the Chinese. With regard to housing, your area of expertise, we're talking with Lawrence Yun. Am I pronouncing your last name right, sir?
Yun.
Thank you very much. Lawrence Yun, the chief economist for the National Association of Realtors. Realtor.org, by the way, is their website. I think it's possible to draw a slightly different scenario than the one you just did, which is that we're adding population, whether it's babies or immigrants or people transitioning. Certainly, there's a lot of people transitioning into adulthood every year. You know, there is going to be increased demand for housing. But there was a huge housing boom in the 1920s. In fact, the housing bubble that started in Florida in 1924 and burst in 1927 and it spread all the way up to New York and all the way out to California by 27 is one of the things that's cited by many people who are historians of the Great Depression as one of the things that caused the Great Depression or led to it, that burst of that particular housing bubble. And during the housing bubble of the early 20s, hundreds of thousands, arguably millions, and every city in America has lots of remnants of that period of time. These great big, you know, 5-6 bedroom houses or 3 and 4 bedroom houses were built all over the country. And I can tell you here in Portland, where I'm broadcasting from, for example, on the northeast side, there are hundreds of these homes. And to this day, and this started during the Great Depression, to this day, a good percentage of them have been converted into multi-unit dwellings. In other words, they took a 3-bedroom house and they turned it into a 3-apartment house or a 2-apartment house. And so the number of physical houses didn't change. The number of people who could be housed increased. And one of the big trends of the 90s was building these McMansions, these very, very large, absurdly large houses, arguably. And isn't it possible that over the next 5 to 10 years that the big trend that we'll see is the exact same trend that we saw from 1930 until 1950 or maybe 49 when the veterans bill was, you know, really assisting veterans to buy new housing and all these single story 1 and 2 bedroom tract houses got built all over the United States in the early 50s, late 40s, that we'll see a repeat of that trend of converting McMansions into 2-apartment houses or 3-apartment houses?
Regarding consumer preference, I mean, I personally do not prefer to have those McMansions. You know, it eats up a lot of energy, and many homes, many rooms are never occupied. So I think it's just a lot of waste of time in trying to maintain those large homes. But nonetheless, I will not dispute what the consumers want. So if the consumers are demanding those McMansions, you know, builders will respond to that. Now, you rightly mentioned that, you know, perhaps because of overbuilding, and certainly we did have overbuilding during the boom years in 2002 all the way to 2005, way oversupply. But now the production activity has come down so much that within a year or two, you know, with a natural population growth and provided that the economic policy, the mistakes of the Great Depression is not repeated in the current time, you know, we will easily not foresee that, you know, protracted 10-year, decade-long housing market or economic contraction. But it depends critically upon the right economic response.
Yeah, so you're cautiously optimistic in the hopes that we're only a year into this, and whereas from 1929 to 1934 we were arguably, you know, 4 or 5 years of Herbert Hoover basically doing nothing, and now we have a new administration 1 year into the second Republican Great Depression, and Barack Obama might make the right choices and do the right things.
Well, we're in the third year of the housing downturn, so it's not a 1 year, it's a 3-year downturn cycle. But the Federal Reserve has been very aggressive in their move back in the Great Depression. Federal Reserve contracted the money supply into the system and hence made the situation much worse. During the Great Depression, they raised taxes. And, you know, no one is talking about raising taxes in the current environment. So I think that, you know, many people have learned their lessons from the Great Depression, and those mistakes will not be repeated this time around.
Yeah, although Barack Obama is talking about raising taxes on people making more than $250,000 a year, but it seems that in the past, whenever we've done that, the economy has actually grown. If you go back and look at every single time taxes have been raised on people earning over, you know, basically $1 million a year in the United States, the economy's grown as a consequence of it.
I think some of the advices that Obama will be receiving is that at least over the next 2 years, as the economy is struggling and trying to get back on track, that some of those tax hike policy, even on the super wealthy, will be postponed. Because I think right now, in times of economic downturn, you know, last thing we need is to have less innovative entrepreneurial spirit in the marketplace. So I think even some of those tax hikes to the super wealthy will be postponed, at least for the next couple of years.
Yeah. Well, I respectfully disagree. I would suggest that those tax hikes will give the government funds that they need, and that without them, the super wealthy are just, you know, they'll just inflate another bubble, or they'll put their money in Switzerland. But time will tell. Lawrence Yun, the chief economist for the National Association of Realtors, Realtor.org. Thank you for being with us, sir.
Thank you very much for having me.
Good speaking with you. 16 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Program.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Saving the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Need a last-minute gift idea? It's easy. ProFlowers has extended their offer on a gorgeous bouquet of Christmas tulips that includes a free red and white striped vase, but you only have until Tuesday to order. ProFlowers.com has 15 Christmas tulips for just $29.99 when you use my password, Hartman. And my listeners will get a free candy cane vase, a $10 value, free. The red and white candy cane vase is so popular every year, and now it's free just for my listeners. You can't find this deal anywhere else. So get 15 festive Christmas tulips for just $29.99, or really impress with 20 Christmas tulips for just $39.99, and my listeners will get a free candy cane vase when they use my password, Hartman. Order Christmas tulips now at proflowers.com. Find the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner, click it, and just type in my password, Hartman. That's proflowers.com or call 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS. That's 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS. And don't forget to use my code Hartman with two N's. And remember, you must order by Tuesday to ensure delivery by Christmas. So order now!
Ed Schultz.
The biggest story on the face of this earth is America. What do you really think of your workers?
Noon to 3.
The partisan divide is alive and well. The attack on the working folk of America is now in full gear. What's the difference between the governor of Illinois selling off a Senate seat,
the Ed Schultz Show,
and some southern Republican senator protecting his backside for the next election?
Noon to 3.
By cutting the head off American auto manufacturer.
AM 620 KPOJ.
A wise man once said, get knowledge of the spine, for this is the requisite for many diseases. That was Hippocrates back in 446 BC. I take care of my spine by going to Relax the Back. Relax the Back's furniture not only looks good, but actually improves your spinal health. Relax the Back has certified ergonomic assessment specialists on staff to assist you in choosing ergonomic chairs, recliners, pillows, mattresses, sleep aids, desks, footrests, whatever you need. Louise likes the Sanyo massage chair, and I get a kick out of the zero-gravity recliners and inversion tables. Hanging upside down never felt so good.
Relax the Back, located in Beaverton and Clackamas.
When was the last time you listened to your inner voice?
Don't leave a tip. You'll never see her again.
Sometimes it's hard to find the good inside.
Return the dress. You only wore it once.
Unless your inner voice is telling you to get the new McSkillet burrito with chicken from McDonald's. It has all white meat chicken, skillet potatoes, scrambled eggs, zesty salsa, and cheese all wrapped up in a warm tortilla. Trust your inner voice. Try McDonald's new McSkillet burrito with chicken.
Do it now.
At participating McDonald's.
Roscoe, you want to grab some McDonald's breakfast?
Yeah, I could really go for a fruit and yogurt parfait.
A parfait?
Yeah, it really gets me through a hard day at grouting.
You sure you don't want an Egg McMuffin or McGriddles?
How about we share one of each? You know, go have these.
What?
What?
Whatever you're craving in the morning, McDonald's has you covered. From their classic Egg McMuffin to the new McSkillet burrito with chicken. And with many open at 5 a.m., they're up and ready to get your morning off to a great start. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
Hi, this is Rihanna, and you've probably heard my music on the radio lately. Do you know there's a great new website called RateTheMusic.com where you get to hear and rate all kinds of great new music before anyone else? and it's absolutely free. Log on to ratethemusic.com today. When you do, you'll be letting radio stations all over America know exactly what you want to hear on the radio, and you'll be sending the message to top record label executives too. Now you have a choice in the music business. It's called ratethemusic.com.
Hi, it's Ryan Tedder from One Republic. This fall, we are headlining Tag This Tour 2008. Check out our website, onerepublic.net, for details on how you can bid on exclusive packages to our upcoming tour. The best part is, you'll be helping to save lives. All of the proceeds from these auctions will benefit the City of Hope. City of Hope aims to serve cancer patients with the latest research, treatment, compassion, and dignity. Join us in the mission to find a cure for cancer. Visit www.onerepublic.net for tour dates and information.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Pilgrims in the parking lot, arteries clogged with blood clots, pushing through the aisles of department stores. Neon crosses and Christmas lights, credit card debts and brand new bikes. The holidays are here and we're still at war. The rabbi reads from the testament, the banker gazes at the year's investment. Salvation Santa solicits for the poor. Deception of democracy, the philanderings of faux foreign policy. The holidays are here and we're still at war.
And welcome back, 21 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you.
The liberal mind never ceases to amaze me, writes Noel Shepard over at Newsbusters. One of the organizations funded by Brent Bozell, the Media Research Center, group that gets about $10 million from basically extremely wealthy people and right-wing think tanks, and then echoes that money down to people like Noel. To do things like deny global warming and put forward right-wing talking points. Anyhow, newsbusters.org is the website. If I said .com, my error. And he goes off on my kind of off-the-cuff comments about global warming last week. It is snowing. I'm broadcasting from home today, again, because Portland is locked down. I mean, this city is absolutely shut down. And with the snow, and which is apparently unprecedented. I mean, they're going back. They're saying, well, was the 1950s as bad as this? It doesn't look like it. So what's the deal? You know, what's going on? We had to shovel our backyard yesterday because I live on a houseboat in the Willamette River, and my backyard is a floating dock that's chained to the back of the house. We're 30 feet of water, about 100 feet from shore here. And it had so much snow on it that it was sinking under the water. Or a corner of it was. If the whole thing went underwater, I suppose that would have been actually a good thing. It might have washed the snow away and it would have popped back up, but it didn't. And so our son came over and we had to shovel snow off the roof of the house. And I mean, the dock, I mean, the whole neighborhood was out shoveling the dock. So what's going on? What's going on? And here's my suggestion on this. There was a conference, and this is what I was referring to in my riff last week that Noel seemed to find so humorous. Conference last week of the American Geophysical Union in San Francisco, and there were numerous papers presented at this, and actually Louise has a bunch of the links on our homepage, tomhartman.com. One of them that I thought was most interesting, this is the AP version of the story on this, more than 2 trillion tons of land ice in Greenland, Antarctica, and Alaska have melted since 2003, according to new NASA satellite data that shows the latest signs of what scientists say is global warming. The water melting from Greenland in the last 5 years would fill up about 11 Chesapeake Bays. The Greenland melt seems to be accelerating. Alaska has lost 400 billion tons of ice. But keep in mind, this is 2 trillion tons of ice. They suggest that what we're starting to see now is strong signs of warning and amplification. There's no reversal taking place. This from one of the researchers presenting there, Mr. Zwali. And some, let's see here. trying to find his name. Anyhow, that's Mark Zerez, senior scientist at the National Snow and Ice Data Center in Boulder, Colorado. The pace of change is starting to outstrip our ability to keep up with it in terms of our understanding it. See, there's a difference between weather and climate, and this is what some people just fail to understand. Meteorology and climatology are two different things. Weather is the local events. Katrina, our blizzard, you know, snowstorms across the United States. Climate is what is happening on a global level. What's happening on a global level is that there is more and more moisture being thrown up into the atmosphere as a consequence of the atmosphere getting warmer and being able to hold more moisture, in addition to the fact that that heat is also melting more ice. But and so you've got a lot of landlocked glaciers, like up on the top of Mount Kilimanjaro, and in some of the ones in the Andes. Many of them are melting into rivers that end up in the sea, but many of them are simply melting into the air. And so, and the atmosphere is warmer, so it can hold more moisture. As it holds more moisture, it becomes more unstable. In fact, water vapor is one of the most potent of the greenhouse gases. And as the atmosphere heats up as a consequence of forcings, there's a small forcing by the sun. It accounts for 2-3% of this. Carbon dioxide, maybe 10-12% of it. Aerosols are the anti-forcers. They're increasing albedo. Anyhow, the bottom line, and this is some of these studies are just absolutely startling, is that as this happens, you get more and severe storms. What we're experiencing right now here in the Pacific Northwest is the equivalent of a Hurricane Katrina. It is, you know, these massive low-pressure systems, these massive storms coming in off the Pacific, and we're in a place, because we're so near to the ocean, where typically it's either just a few degrees above or just a few degrees below zero, and what would normally be either a rainy winter or, you know, very often we get long periods where it's well below zero, but it just doesn't snow much. We've got the combination of precipitation and below zero, so we've got a foot of snow on our backyard or on our back deck. And this is one of the many predictable consequences of global warming. It's just, you know, the weather starts getting radical. The weather starts going weird. On top of that, maybe the 2008 Summer Olympics laid out this story. The LA Times reported on it. You can Google it. The Chinese have been tinkering with the weather. The Bureau of Weather Modification was established in the 1980s. It's now the largest in the world. 37,000 employees, 30 aircraft, 4,000 rocket launchers, 7,000 anti-aircraft guns. The Chinese are changing the weather for the Olympics. Is that causing our weather? I don't think so, but who knows?
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Comes the time for Christmas, and I really have to ask, if this is feeling merry, how much longer must it last? I wish you one horse open sleigh would come carry me away, but I've been waiting here all day, and one just hasn't come my way. Now excuse me if I'm not being reverent, but I was hoping for a miracle to hold me, wash me, save me from a righteous doubt as I watch helpless, and everybody sings, if it's Hanukkah or Kwanzaa, solstice, harvest, or December 25th, on earth to everyone and abundance to everyone.
There you go, and happy second day of Hanukkah. 34 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you, along with Higgins asleep on the couch next to me. Okay, so let's say that you're Lloyd Blankenfeld, Blankfein, the president and CEO of Goldman Sachs. And last year, you took home $54 million in compensation. You paid your top five executives $242 million. You get $10 billion. That's $10,000 million from the taxpayers. And your top seven executives now have decided to work just for their base salaries. You know how we don't want the auto workers to make more than $15,000 a year? That's what starting automakers make in the new UAW contracts with Ford, Chrysler, and GM. Can't make more than $14,000 to $15,000 a year starting pay.
And even that's too much for the Republicans. Well, the seven executives, the top executives at Goldman, they're all working for just a paltry $600,000 a year. I don't recall anybody asking that when they'd got the $10 billion that these guys take a salary cut to, say, you know, $100,000 a year. How about make it as much as an auto worker makes? Well, anyway, it gets even weirder than that. What kind of taxes are your company going to pay? Or is your company going to pay? It turns out that Goldman Sachs, which paid $6 billion in taxes this last year, is going to pay 1% of that, or 1% of their income in taxes this year. Now, this is a company that this year has paid its employees $10.9 billion and showed a $2.3 billion profit, even though, you know, we bailed them out. Right? Go figure. They're only paying $14 million in taxes. Well, according to Congressman Lloyd Doggett, who serves on the House Ways and Means Committee, he says, Goldman, like other banks, has shifted income to countries with lower taxes to reduce its tax burden. This problem is larger than Goldman Sachs, he told Bloomberg News, with the right hand out begging for bailout money, the left is hiding it offshore. Downright bizarre. 866-303-2270. Our telephone number, Steve in Delaware. Hey, Steve, welcome to the show. What's up? What's up?
How are you, Tom?
Fine, thank you.
Good. Listen, I really appreciate I really love listening to your show, and it's great to know that you can put your message across, unlike some of the other people on Sirius Left without swearing every minute, it seems like. But my point is, I was a former mortgage broker for 12 years, and I enjoy listening to the realtor guy who was on a little bit ago, and I'd like to give you my perspective, if you don't mind, real quick,
sure,
on how we got in this mess. I never did a subprime loan in my life. In my job, there's no such thing as oceanfront subprime lending.
Uh-huh.
And I think we got to a point where we thought individuals had a constitutional right to own a home, and I was always a mortgage broker who never believed that. Mm-hmm. I believe you pay your bills on time, you deserve a house, you don't pay your bills on time, you don't deserve a house. And that's the kind of philosophy I had as a mortgage broker. And I really saw this mess coming in probably the late 90s and early 2000s when underwriters would come to us and say, listen, we're going to be, over the next couple of years, we can, let's say, mortgage lender A says to myself and my bosses, hey, we are going to lend money to people who traditionally have not been allowed to own a home, and that's people with poor credit.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was, after 9/11, all of a sudden, you know, with the financial mess we are in, interest rates went down, and lenders, because of lack of regulation, started allowing people to borrow money for homes who never had a right to own that home because they didn't pay their bills on time. Now, what I've seen over the years is, towards the peak of subprime lending, if you had a 580 middle credit score and a collection up to $4,999, we had lenders who would give 100% financing to individuals.
Right, which is nuts.
Which was crazy. And one of the things was lack of regulation. And the state that I was previous a mortgage broker in, we had some of the toughest laws in the country because we had a lot of crooks.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, a lot of mortgage brokers and a lot of banks took advantage of people. But ultimately, I think a lot of burden has been miscued a little bit because ultimately, you know, as an individual, you know whether or not you can afford a home. And one thing I've always done was, listen, I'm an upfront mortgage broker, and I'm going to tell you if you can afford this or not. And I've turned down many, many loans in the past because I told the individuals, your debt-to-income ratio is just too high. And so, you know, the
lack of regulation. It's a pretty straightforward thing, Steve. Yeah, we used to have fairly strong regulations and laws in this country. It used to be very hard to get a credit card. It used to be very hard to get a mortgage. You had to put down 10%. There used to be strong rules against on how credit card companies could treat their customers as well, which is one of the reasons why it was a little harder to get a credit card. All that worked, I think, to the benefit. Those were stabilizing influences. And then we went into this period, and the The New York Times called it out right on Friday. The whole Reaganomics, I mean, this really started 28 years ago. This whole ideology or ideology that we should just, let the market decide. I'm sorry, there's no such thing as a market. Just like there's no such thing as a football game without goalposts and referees. You know, there's no such thing as a baseball game without umpires and a diamond. You've got to have the fundamental superstructure there. And the superstructure that government provides in the United States is they define the rules of the game. They enforce the rules of the game through the court systems and jails and things like that. And they provide the infrastructure for the game in the terms of banking and a stable currency and saying these are the parameters within which you can operate. And to say you're going to have a free market is like saying you're going to have a football game, you know, with no referees and not even we're not even going to figure out where the sidelines are. You know, it's wherever they happen to go. And it's just it is insane. And I think Americans are starting to wake up to the fact that it's insane. Well said, Steve. Thank you very much. And good on you for being a good mortgage broker there. Bob in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hey, Bob, what's on your mind today? Bob? No, Bob. Okay, Gino in Taos, New Mexico. Hey, Gino, you're listening on KBOT. You're on the air, Gino.
Hey, Tom, it's great to talk to you. I love your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say we went to the Christmas party. My family, my 8-year-old boy, he had to say his wish for the world was that they got together and did something about global warming.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. 8.5 years old, I have faith in the future. Yet my son, two of my boys live in Portland, and my daughter-in-law just got laid off for Christmas. Happy Christmas, happy holidays. And she's been at that newspaper, your second newspaper since they opened. I was wondering how bad are things in Portland that she got laid off?
The economy in Portland is taking a hit. The economy all over the country is taking a hit, and we're seeing increasing layoffs, increasing cutbacks, both in Portland and around the country. I think perhaps we're a little more well-insulated from this here in Portland than other parts of the country because we have a really diversified economic base. But, when the entire sea level is going down, all the ships are going down, to strain a metaphor here. So I think that we're in the leading edge. You know, we have not hit bottom. In fact, I'm guessing that we have a year or two before we hit bottom. Now, you know, the good news, and thank you, Gino, for the call. The good news of that is that, number one, it causes people to rethink what their values are. People are saying, you know, I mean, it's like yesterday. We were the whole community was at risk. This floating home community. There's 34 houses here on this mortgage, and you know, most of the people on this mortgage, by the way, are not wealthy. And these are in many cases middle class homes. The year that we moved in 4 years ago, the house just down the end of the mortgage sold for $167,000. I mean, it's not. There are some that are more expensive than that, but it's this is not. Anyhow, so everybody's out on the docks shoveling like crazy, and because we're starting to sink, we're starting to sink. And what is happening is, you know, difficult times, crisis times, cause people to come together in community, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing for the country. By the way, another thing with regard to the water vapor. This is from Geophysical Letters. And this was published in 2008. Water vapor climate feedback inferred from past years of climate fluctuation. Water warming temperatures evaporate water, increasing humidity. Using satellite data, Dresser et al. Observed and quantified the behavior of atmospheric water vapor and the water vapor feedback during variations of the Earth's climate between 2003 and 2008. Humidity over most of the troposphere, that's the lower atmosphere, was increasing with rising global surface temperature averages. So, again, you know, what do you get when you get increased humidity and increased temperature in the atmosphere? You get more storms. And if it happens to be cold, there's snowstorms. But you get more storms. You get more precipitation. And, you know, it's pretty straightforward stuff. Also, Dr. Eric Rignote, this was, again, another presentation last week at the American Geophysical Union meeting. He's rocked the house. This is from the gristmill.org website, the blog site. He rocked the house tonight with his talk on polar ice melt. He says the 1 meter sea level rise by 2001 is very likely if the rate of ice melt just stays the same. And actually, it's not staying the same. It's already increasing. The blogger posted, Joseph Rahm says, if Rignote is right, then Hansen and Gore are right, and our target for carbon dioxide must be 350 parts per million or less.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
I was driving my rig down the interstate. Had an on-time bonus, couldn't afford to be late. So to save on fuel, save time and cash, I fly by the scale house, move on past with Pre-Pass.
Pre-Pass.
It's a bypass system, first of its kind. Checks my weight and my Dodge driving 65. Then a green light flashes up on my dash. And while the other eight stop, I just move on past with Pre-Pass.
Pre-Pass.
With your good driving record, Pre-Pass can save you time and money on every haul. Highway sensors check your weight and certifications as you drive highway speed. If everything checks, a green light on your dash says drive on by. Try Pre-Pass free. We guarantee you'll want it along on every haul. Visit Pre-Pass.com or call 888-559-PASS to try Pre-Pass free. That's Pre-Pass.com or 888-559-PASS. 888-559-PASS.
She's loud, she's proud, and she definitely draws a crowd.
If he had gotten into politics to steal, he certainly picked the wrong time because we're broke.
Randy Rhodes.
There's nothing left to steal. You know, why are they asking, is he crazy? Just look at his hair. What's on the outside is pretty good indication of what he's thinking on the inside.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
He actually considered appointing himself to the Senate seat because he was afraid that he had sucked every corrupt dollar out of Illinois, so he wanted to go national.
3 to 6 on AM 620 KPOJ.
Guys, discomfort and chafing from wetness-related friction can hit any time. Get relief and prevent it too with Gold Bond Medicated Foot Powder for your feet and Body Powder for your, you know. Whether you're working out or just holding down the couch, you're a guy. And unlike baby powders, Gold Bond's got the medicated formulas to fight itch, odor, and wetness. Plus, it's got that cooling kick that lets you know it's working wherever. Keep it cool with Gold Bond Medicated Foot and Body Powders. It's a guy thing. Use as directed.
Imagine being able to fill your palm with a rare piece of history. It's possible because the New York Mint has just issued an exclusive proof of the breathtaking $100 Union. Proposed by George T. Morgan, it was to be the largest U.S. coin ever in denomination, weight, and size. Now, in a rare offering, the New York Mint has announced the release of a limited quantity of $100 Union coins to the public. Struck in gleaming proof silver and sealed at the mint, this $100 Union has never and will never be circulated. This coin will be offered for a limited time on a first-come, first-served basis by calling the New York Mint at 1-800-500-9551. This brilliant coin masterpiece fills the palm and the senses with weight and historical presence. To get your hands on this unique piece of history and receive a free collector's DVD, call the New York Mint directly. 1-800-500-9551. Quantities are limited. Call 1-800-500-9551.
Are the monthly payments you're receiving from a structured settlement not enough to keep up with your expenses? Do you need cash now? Well, now you can get the future money owed to you in a lump sum. For free information, call Peachtree Settlement Funding, 1-800-300-7153.
The money I was getting every month from my lawsuit just wasn't enough. Now we have the cash to finally pay off our credit cards.
Find out how you can turn your structured settlement into cash now, when you need it most, to pay off the bills that are piling up now.
Our adjustable rate mortgage payments were out of control. If we hadn't gotten this money, we might have ended up losing our house.
Getting this money was like getting my life back. Now I know I can pay my bills every month.
If you have a structured settlement, get the future money you have coming to you now. For your free information, call Peachtree Settlement Funding at 1-800-300-7153. That's 1-800-300-7153. 1-800-300-7153.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Good.
veilige niste nog als zijne. Alle nacht met tweede lach, spelen alle kinderen lach. Hij zal lekker zetten met schermen op de hetzelag. Ganneke, ganneke, Jan te verschijnen. Lichtige, veilige niste nog als zijne. Alle nacht met tweede lach, spelen alle kinderen lach. Ik vind de kinderen zin, doen jet, alle lach. Celebrate the salvation, 8 holy nights, 44 lights make the whole world bright. We'd like to commemorate them bygone days, and we spin it to remember that a nation took place. If one little candle can burn for 8 days, then it ain't a situation from which God can't save. Check the shine from the light and the Sufganiya. In those days and these times, celebrating Hanukkah.
And have a happy Hanukkah. Indeed, the second day here. And downright crazy stuff going on in the world out there. Farting gorillas? Yeah, this is the Chessington Zoo in the UK. The zookeeper says, we are feeding the gorillas Brussels sprouts because they're packed with vitamin C, great nutritional benefits. Unfortunately, I don't think any of us were prepared for a smell that strong. Also, purple squirrels. Seriously, there's a purple squirrel. I guess, I don't know, well, I'm looking at the picture of it. This squirrel is bright purple, and he's running around this school, and nobody can figure out what's going on. This, again, is in the UK. It's in Stubbington Hants, or in Hants. And the best they can figure is he got into a storage room that was a graveyard for old computer printers, and he must have dug into some color toner because he's bright purple, a gray squirrel who has turned bright purple. Anyhow, 866-303-2270, our telephone number. And Richard in Eureka, California. Hey, Richard, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing, Tom?
Just great. What's on your mind today?
You were talking to the gentleman. I love this whitewashing that's going on. Nobody wants to take responsibility for the mortgage crisis that we're in. And I work for a large mortgage broker down in Temecula. We manage about 200 loan officers on and off. All of them on commission, none of them owned houses, and in the entire 5 years we worked there, I don't think we ever sent a loan to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. Mm-hmm. We would have at the end of the month or in the middle of the week, depending on when the New York Wall Street Bank thought they needed more loans that they could sell off. Suddenly, let's use Argent as an example. The rep would walk in and say, what loans do you guys have that you could not get done anywhere else? They would look at the 1003, restructure it, maybe fib a little bit on it, and then they would take a loan to refinance or put a person in a house that never should have gotten it.
Right. This is called creating a bubble.
And then we're saying, oh, the person who's been told about the American dream and that you have to own a house, we're now asking them to make a rational decision when somebody sits in front of them and tells them, you can be in a house.
Right. Yeah, and not only you can be in a house, but conventional wisdom. I mean, you've got TV shows called Flip This House. Conventional wisdom was the value of these houses is going to go up forever. I mean, this is the Dutch tulip thing from the 1615s, as I recall. The housing market's going to go up forever, and every other year you can simply refinance and take another $20,000 out. You can live large on this, and if you improve the value of the house, put $10,000-$15,000 worth of improvements plus a little bit of sweat equity, you can sell it for $50,000 more. And there were people who were literally trying to make their living doing this. People who were going to these seminars on how to get rich in real estate and going out and buying 5, 6, 7, 8 houses like this using these kind of liar loans. You're right, Richard. You're absolutely right, and it's a disaster. And this has been brought about by an absolute lack of common sense. Well, actually, not a lack of common sense, by an excess of Reaganomics, an excess of libertarian thinking, an excess of belief that anytime the government regulates anything, bad things happen. And the fact of the matter is that if you don't have goalposts and referees, if you don't have umpires and a baseline, if you don't have a rule book, you don't have a game. Ultimately, it will fall apart. It absolutely will fall apart. And so, anyhow, Bob in Durham, North Carolina. Hey, Bob, what's on your mind today?
Hello.
Hey.
Yes. I'm calling about an article that I was reading, and in this article, this was a European publication about the idea that the U.S. pension system and a couple other pension systems around the world could collapse at some point next year.
Yes. The problem is that the Pension Guarantee Corporation, the pension equivalent of the FDIC that guarantees bank mortgages or bank loans rather, or bank, you know, money in banks, the pension equivalent of that has, because there have been so many companies that have dropped their pensions and dumped them on the Pension Guarantee Corporation, they're within a real narrow range of assets to liabilities right now. Some would argue that their liabilities exceed their assets, and that if a bunch of other companies go belly up and dump their pensions on this federal insurance company, as it were, there's going to be a whole brand new set of problems.
Yeah, the article that I read was at LEAP2020.eu, LEAP2020.eu, and it's a fascinating article. That's one of the aspects. It kind of goes over the overall financial crisis, but one of the points that it touches on is the pension system and how fragile it has become.
Yeah, and again, this goes back to Reaganomics, the whole idea that we need to replace our pensions. Thanks, Bert, for the call. That we need to replace our pensions with savings, because working people should be thinking economically identically to very rich people. So, you know, very rich people, you got a couple $1 million in the bank, $100 million, $1 billion in the bank, then, you know, you figure your retirement's based on the money you've got in the bank. So why can't the average working person do the same thing? To hell with Social Security, we don't need that. Even if the average working person isn't earning enough to set aside savings. And particularly as we go deeper and deeper into Reaganomics and we get closer and closer to minimum wage and auto workers are now starting at $15 an hour rather than $30 an hour, there's no way people can set aside enough money that they can retire, you know, with any kind of security and safety, particularly given inflation, particularly given the insanity that has been wreaked on this market by the wreckage of Reaganomics. I mean, it is just nuts. And now Obama's going, oh, maybe we shouldn't cut taxes or raise taxes. Give me a break.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Michael Connell died over the weekend. Might have been on Friday. I had to go back and check. But here's a news report from Channel 19 Action News. I believe this is his hometown TV station. Here's a fragment of that news report. You can find the whole thing on the web if you Google Michael Connell canceled two flights over at YouTube. Here it is.
Getting votes. Records show the Bush campaign paid Connell's business some $800,000 in 2004, but it's unclear for what. Connell, though, was apparently told by a close friend not to fly his plane because the plane might be sabotaged. And twice in the last 2 months, Connell, who was an experienced pilot, canceled two flights because of suspicious problems with his plane. And now, last night, he had another problem with his plane, but this one took his life.
It is too early to tell if the federal investigation into the cause of Connell's death has any kind of tie to the work he provided from this office to the president. In Richfield, Blake Chenault, 19 Action News.
Now, that raises some interesting questions. Cliff Arnebeck, commoncause.org, the website. Cliff has been on this story, in the middle of this story, for quite some time. Cliff, welcome to the show.
Nice to be with you, Tom.
I should add you are the chair of the Legal Affairs Committee for Common Cause Ohio, national co-chair and attorney for the Alliance for Democracy. Been on the show before. Cliff, tell us who was Michael Connell.
Mike Connell was... shorthand has been described as the IT guru for the Republican Party. He was
Isn't it perhaps more accurate to say the IT guru for the Bush family since George Herbert Walker Bush first brought him in?
Well, he'd been doing some Republican work before that.
I see. Okay.
But he's also, very, very close to Karl Rove and connected to many of the activities of Karl Rove over the last 8 years. Mm-hmm. And that was the we held a news conference on July 17th this year and identified him as the key witness in what we believe to be a racketeering conspiracy in which Karl Rove is the principal perpetrator. And I think that's what led to a sequence of events that we felt jeopardized Mike Connell's situation.
In fact, you had, as part of this lawsuit, you had deposed and were, I believe, going to depose more Michael Connell, and you had asked for federal protection for him.
We asked for state and federal protection for him. We asked for that in two ways. We asked for immunity for him and his wife from any criminal responsibility for anything he may have done or might be alleged to have done, he or his wife. And we asked for protection for his family, meaning to have law enforcement authorities keeping an eye on the situation and preventing intervening and to prevent any harm coming to either him or his family.
Cliff, I always pronounce your name as three syllables, Arnebeck. In the news report, they were calling you Arnbeck. Which is it?
It's three syllables, Arnebeck.
Okay. Thank you. So here's this guy. The allegation is that he set up a server farm or a whatever you call it, a server in Tennessee. It held GWB43.com, which was the website that Karl Rove was using for all of his emails, which have now gone missing. And some of the White House emails that have gone missing. He also was routing on the eve of the 2004 election all of the election results, correct me if I'm wrong on this, from all the various precincts around the state of Ohio, which had been called by the exit polls and by the poll watchers for John Kerry. All of those numbers got routed to Tennessee, where they got processed by Michael Connell and then sent and then posted to the website for Ken Blackwell, the Secretary of State of Ohio, and they showed a result that was vastly at variance with the exit polls, showing that rather than John Kerry carrying the state, that George W. Bush carried the state. Do I have that right so far?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. There was a backup server arrangement in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and it was through a company called SmartTech, which I don't believe was Mike Connell's company. It was he described it as a company that he teamed up with all of his clients when they needed a server. Mm-hmm. That's the company that he referred them to, and that's the company he used in all wherever in his work he needed a server. Mm-hmm. It's owned by a guy named Jeff Averbeck, who is a one part of his life is running this SmartTech. The other part of his life is running, publishing, some kind of evangelical publications.
Is this the guy that there was some reference to? Or was that Michael McConnell who had told, I think it was Stephen Spoonamore, that he had to rig the 2004 election in Ohio in order to save the babies, that it was all about preventing pro-abortion or pro-abortion rights, John Kerry, from getting elected?
Michael Connell is a Roman Catholic and quite devout Roman Catholic, and he had had some conversations with a friend and colleague named Stephen Spoonamore, and in the course of those conversations had made some statement about possibly some things he might have done some things. Or let some things happen that he should not have, in the interest of the pro-life position.
Yeah. So, Cliff, what's your personal and then he dies in a plane crash, much like Karl Rove was working on the campaign in Missouri, and you know, we had a plane crash. Although this is now we're starting to get into, you know, should we play the Twilight Zone music here? But he himself, twice, according to this news report, had refused to fly his own plane, saying it had been sabotaged. And he had been warned about people sabotaging his plane. Apparently, Rove had threatened him or his wife. Do I have that right?
Within days of the news conference we had July 17th, we got a tip from someone high up in the McCain campaign indicating that Rove had made a threat to Connell. And the threat was in the nature of, you will not get immunity, but if you implicate, if you don't take the fall, if you implicate Rove, we will prosecute your wife.
Well, this is the, you know, shades of the Don Siegelman case. Not that they went after his wife, they went after him, but they used an illegal prosecution to take him down.
Well, and also shades of the Wilson plane situation.
Yes, where they went after his wife, Joe mm-hmm. Wilson and Valerie Plame. Exactly. Yeah, that's probably a more perfect analogy. My friend and colleague Mike Malloy often refers to the Bush crime family. I've up until this point not been entirely comfortable with that usage, but it's looking increasingly like this is an organized crime operation running out of the White House.
Well, I think it's an important distinction. When we held our news conference July 17, we did not talk about a Bush-Rove conspiracy. We talked about a Rove conspiracy, and I think it's an important distinction. Rove, if you look at his history and background, he looks like a person who could be a person without a conscience, a sociopathic kind of personality, and it's clear that Bush and others have relied upon him to deliver election results.
Right.
And the question of whether the President Bush, George W. Bush, knew of his specific methods or condoned his specific methods, you know, that's a question beyond.
Beyond this case.
We didn't say that.
Cliff, we just have 20 seconds left.
Sure.
What's the death of Michael Connell going to mean for the investigation and your lawsuit against Karl Rove?
Well, first of all, we need an investigation of the death to see what the facts are, and he will be part of the future development of this because he made statements that will be admissible in court.
Yeah, statements that implicate Rove when you deposed him?
Well, he made statements long before that implicated what we're talking about.
Yeah, very interesting. Cliff Arnebeck, good luck, sir.
Thank you. Good talking with you, Tom.
Good talking with you, too. CommonCause.org. You can find out more about it. And, of course, this thing is all over the web now. And a fascinating, fascinating story. It's, shades of the Clinton. You know, everybody was accusing Hillary Clinton of Vince Foster. This might have some traction, actually. Stick around.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
I was driving my rig down the interstate. Had an on-time bonus, couldn't afford to be late. So to save on fuel, save time and cash, I fly by the scale house, move on past with Prepass.
Prepass.
It's a bypass system, first of its kind. Checks my weight and my dock's driving 65. Then a green light flashes up on my dash, and while the other eight stop, I just move on past with Prepass.
Prepass.
With your good driving record, Prepass can save you time and money on every haul. Highway sensors check your weight and certifications as you drive highway speed. If everything checks, a green light on your dash says drive on by. Try Prepass free. We guarantee you'll want it along on every haul. Visit Prepass.com or call 888-559-PASS to try Prepass free. That's Prepass.com or 888-559-PASS. 888-559-PASS.
Did you know you can now listen to AM 620 KPOJ on your iPhone or iPod Touch?
Go to 620kpoj.com and download the free iHeartRadio application.
You'll hear Carl Wolfson and friends, Tom Hartman, Ed Schultz, Randy Rhodes,
Rachel Maddow, and Mike Malloy.
All streaming from the hottest mobile phones and MP3 players on the planet.
iHeartRadio. The download is free.
Listen to Portland's only progressive talk station on your iPhone. For more information, visit 620kpoj.com.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. Now, we'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a 40-year-old man on blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price? $20 a month.
Thanks, Joel. See how affordable term life insurance can be for you. Call 1-800-900-1665. That's 1-800-900-1665. Or go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health and other factors. Not available in all states.
Honey, come on. We've got last-minute shopping to do.
Let's go to
Lowe's Last-Minute Extravaganza.
A bullhorn?
Sorry. But this Thursday through Christmas Eve, we'll get 10% off major appliances, $397 or more.
Oh.
Plus, we can register for a free $10 online certificate with purchase of $100 in Lowe's gift cards and get 10% off all wet dry vacs and Kobalt tool storage chests.
Let's go to Lowe's.
I'll start the car.
Do your last-minute shopping at Lowe's this weekend to get 50% off holiday decorations. Lowe's, let's build something together. While supplies last, some restrictions apply. See store for details.
Okay, everybody, let's get started. Wait, where's Jim with a Q1 marketing plan?
Well, sir, not sure, but he's been acting kind of strange lately.
Hiya, gang! Sorry I'm late. I was at Office Max stocking up on Secret Santa gifts. Ha-ha! All right, who's up for some eggnog, huh?
Oh, no. He's gone elf.
Office Max is your headquarters for the holidays. And, of course, don't forget to elf yourself at elfyourself.com. This week only, get a Nikon P60 8-megapixel digital camera for $119.99. See store for details while supplies last.
This week only, you can get the new TomTom One 125 for under $100. It's the GPS that works right out of the box, and at just $99.95, it's the perfect holiday gift at the perfect price. TomTom, go confidently.
The weather outside is frightful, so why not stay inside and shop online for great half-price deals? All week long, go to halfpricethursday.com and find bargains on tanning, dining, family fun, and much, much more. Visit halfpricethursday.com to find the best deals in Portland.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Yes, indeed, and happy Hanukkah. Today is actually the first day, because the last night was the first night, and Jewish holidays begin when the sun is down, actually when you can see three stars. So I guess happy first day of Hanukkah. And we're going to do our geeky science rock now. I think we've got some bumper music for that, Stephanie. Here we go.
I'll show you just how cool scientists are. We study everything, that's why we're cool. And yes, most of us got high marks in school. And proud. Paleoanthropology, how we evolved. Zoology.
Geeky science rocks. This, our geeky science alert. And I'll tell you right off, my source on most of this is the AAAS, the American Academy for the Advancement of Science, which I'm a member of. This is fascinating. Puppy love. Japanese scientists did this study with 55 dog owners, and they asked half of them to spend 30 minutes looking, touching, or talking to their dog, and the other half not to. And what they found was that those who, actually 55, it would be 110, I guess, if it was a study, double-blind study. In any case, those, well, this wouldn't be double-blind, but in any case, you look at, here's the bottom line. Those who interacted with their dogs for 30 minutes experienced a roughly 30% increase in oxytocin levels in their urine. Now, for those of you familiar with the chemistry of childbirth, oxytocin is a chemical that is produced when mothers and children bond. It produces trust. It produces the social bonds of animals in the same species. We've known this for many, many years. We never knew whether oxytocin would increase bonding across species. I'll give you this, by the way, is published in the 14th December issue of Hormones and Behavior. And I'll give you an example from my own life. Higgins, my cat, who is sitting on the couch behind me. I don't feed the cat. We have several cats here in the house. And I don't feed the cats. Louise does. And typically, and there's other cats that, you know, all the other cats follow Louise around like, you know, like a dog sort of thing. But Higgins follows me. Wherever I am, he wants to be with me. He sits on my lap. He sits on my shoulders. When I'm writing, he purrs when he ever sees me. It wasn't always that way. When he first came into our house, he just attacked anything that moved. I mean, that was Higgins. And he got really sick when we lived in Vermont. In fact, we took him in, and they thought he had an obstructed bowel. They did surgery, took his intestines out, looked at him, put him back in. He's got a scrambled stomach as a result of it. But the bottom line is that it must have been some kind of terrible virus, and he was dying. And one day he was sitting on the couch in my office in our home in Vermont, out in the woods in Vermont. This was about a decade ago. Or maybe six, seven years ago, he was maybe a year and a half old. This cat was dying. I mean, he could barely lift his head. And I went over to him, and I took his two paws, and I put my face right in front of his, and I looked him right in the eye and had a long conversation with him. And I said, you know, Higgins, you're going to make it through. I'm here with you. And he was looking right into my eyes all that time. And I always thought that maybe I had, you know, maybe somehow we had psychically bonded, or maybe he, because from that point forward, he decided I'm the only person in the world. And here now we have the chemistry for it. His oxytocin levels, as were mine, but probably his, were spiking up, and he bonded to me. So, you know, we can do that. We can do that with other species. Fascinating thing. It's what we do with people as well. Here's another story. 28 stars. What do you get when you watch 28 stars orbit the center of the Milky Way for 16 years? Well, what you get is the ability to calculate the exact distance from the Earth to the center of our galaxy. Keep in mind, when you look at stars out in the night sky, you look at all those stars. Many of those aren't stars. Many of those are galaxies of billions or tens or hundreds of billions of stars. We live in one particular galaxy, the Milky Way. And we are 27,000 light years from the center of it. It takes 27,000, the light you see from the center of our galaxy, well, actually, the center of our galaxy. Now, the other thing that they found is that there's this very massive object, constitutes 95% of the mass in the Milky Way that's holding onto those stars. It appears to be a giant black hole at the center of our galaxy. That was fascinating. So, you know, we're figuring out some things about our own world. An international team has also spotted a planet orbiting so close to its parent star, a red giant called HD 102272, that it's actually grazing the star's outer atmosphere. This would cook, of course, the planet. The planet is in an orbit around the star that would put it about the same place as Earth. The planet is similar to Earth. And here's the kicker. HD 102272, the star, is the exact same type of star as our sun. And so, as they say in the Astrophysical Journal, so about 5 billion years from now, after our sun enters its own red giant phase, it will vaporize the four inner planets, including Earth. So now we not only have been able to posit, but actually see in another solar system the future of our planet. This is a HD 102272. It's about 1,200 light years away in the constellation Leo. And this star expanding out and eating its planet. Fascinating stuff. And the weather is wacky. And in my humble opinion, it has to do with global climate change, also known as global warming. 27 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2070.
Yeehaw is not a foreign policy. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten.
Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. A career Army officer, this over at Alex Jones's website, prisonplanet.com. Career Army officer who is an article written by Joseph Watson, who was injured in the attack on the Pentagon on 9/11, is suing Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld for failing to issue a warning that American Airlines Flight 77 was about to hit the building despite receiving knowledge of its approach some 20 minutes in advance. Retired Army Officer April Gallup, a ranking specialist with top secret clearance who began working in the Pentagon in 2000, has also filed suit against U.S. Air Force General Richard Myers, who was acting chairman of the Joint Chiefs on 9/11. She was knocked unconscious when the roof collapsed in her office, and her two-month-old baby sustained a serious brain injury after suffering the consequences of what Gallup describes as two explosions at the Pentagon. Interesting news. I have a feeling that once Bush and Cheney are out of office, I mean, Joe Biden over the weekend said, A, he thinks prosecutions of these guys for war crimes, et cetera, should be filtered through the Justice Department, but B, they're interested in looking forward, not backward. I have no problem if the president and vice president are talking about looking forward. It's an appropriate thing to do. But the Justice Department, whose job is to prosecute crimes which are always committed before the prosecution, by definition, has to be looking backward. So let's hope that Joe Biden is an enthusiastic supporter of looking backward, at least with the Justice Department. Barry in Kansas City, and frankly, I think that the guy that they've nominated is perhaps one who will do that, and that's why the Republicans are against it. Hey, Barry, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, I got a few suggestions for the Obama administration. Basically, how he's thinking about taking that $700 billion, but I basically feel that all of those funds should be basically put towards green energy technology, mostly wind turbine energy and hydrogen. The reason for the hydrogen is when the wind turbines are producing the electricity at night, that they can reproduce hydrogen and then put hydrogen into our cars. And the reason for that is because of the huge draw on the U.S. economy of $600 billion, going $700 billion, whatever, going out to the foreign countries. It would be a better investment than putting money into bridges, because basically, if we don't have an economy that's a little more robust and our dollar sinking like it is, it's not going to matter if we have bridges, because we're not going to really have anything to drive on, across the bridge. Yeah. And then I have one other suggestion, is basically on these big trucks. I'm actually a Teamster myself, and I personally believe that we should have a truck co-op where basically every 5 hours away you have these huge yards, and basically what would happen there is you'd have a driver going from one yard, turning around and going back to the other yard, basically doing his 10 hours or whatever, and that way there would completely eliminate idling and having the quality of life, so some of these drivers could actually live close to where they work, and they could actually have a better family life, and hence, you wouldn't have all these people living out here. And one other thing in between those two terminals that I'm saying is you could have tractor pulling a set of 53s, and the reason for that is raising the efficiency, and then, of course, you'd be eliminating all the idling, and I really feel that would really have a huge basically, as far as conservation, we have to think about conservation first, but in the meantime, having a zero tax base for any company that has anything to do with green energy, where they, if they, any type of profit, And on top
no,
of
you're,
that,
you know, Carter went even beyond that. He said, if you do green energy, we will pay you. We will give you tax credits.
Exactly.
A tax credit is money from the.
I was just going to say that, Tom, because basically you could not only zero taxes, but actually give them a 10% or 20%. So it'd be an investment of private sector 80% and then government 20%. And that way there, because there's a lot of long-term investment in order to even build up.
No, it's an excellent point, Barry. And this is a great way that the money from the TARP money, none of which, by the way, is going to buy troubled assets, the Troubled Asset Relief Program. So far, they haven't bought any troubled assets. They've spent $350 billion, and they have given a whole lot of money to bankers. And in some terribly bizarre way, John Thane, the CEO of Merrill Lynch, for example, you see this at the top of Huffington Post right now. He earned, since he began work late in the year, he earned $57,000 in salary, $15 million signing bonus, $68 million in stock options, and then went to the taxpayers and asked for $10 billion, which he got. Richard Fairbank, chairman of Capital One Financial, took a $1 million hit in compensation. In other words, his pay went from $18 million down to $17 million. His company received $3.56 billion in bailout money. Robert P. Kelly, the Bank of New York Mellon's Corp., his stipend for financial planning services came to $66,000 on top of his $975,000 salary, $7.5 million bonus. His car and driver cost $178,000. He received $846,000 to move to Manhattan. Wow. And it's just amazing. So anyhow, we're giving the money to the banks. If we're going to give money to car companies, let's use that money to develop things like, hydrogen is a great storage system. Electricity, in the absence of efficient batteries, hydrogen can be used as a storage system, and you can make it at home from electricity. It's a way of storing electricity. You make it from electricity and water, pump it into your car, and there are these home systems that exist. So you have cars that run on hydrogen. But also have giant batteries. You can also use cars as storage systems to store the battery, to store the power that is produced during the day with solar power, or during the, more importantly, at night with wind power, and feed it back into the system. Beth in Minneapolis. Hey, Beth, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tom. Before I talk about what I called for, I just wanted to mention that scientists think that many, maybe most, galaxies have black holes in the center.
Yeah.
And the things that keep them from spiraling out, from releasing all the bodies that are circling, may be black or dark matter holding it all in.
Although this study of our solar system indicates that probably only 5% of what is holding together the at least the core of the Milky Way galaxy is dark matter. That 95% of it is that black hole, which is a revelation for science.
Oh,
for
that's
astronomers.
Interesting. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to call because a few years ago, I was listening to Mike Malloy one night, and a caller from St. Paul called, and she said she was Paul Wellstone's neighbor, and she mentioned that he had told her about a time when he was at Rochester, Minnesota union meeting, and Dick Cheney was in the area also for some reason, and they happened to run into each other, and Cheney said, watch out, you better watch your back, and a couple weeks later was when Paul Wellstone was killed in a plane crash. And I just, it's anecdotal, but boy, it sure fits the MO.
Yeah, it does. There's so many ways that could have happened, too. When I was going through pilot school or pilot class, I mean, I had a flight instructor. He used to do all kinds of things to mess with your instruments so that when you're doing instrument landings or we go up to 5,000 feet and pretend, practice on instruments, that, just a refrigerator magnet slapped up underneath the dash on, next to your magnetic compass can really scramble things. It throws everything off. It throws everything off 4 or 5 degrees. It would probably never be found in the wreckage. And, there's a lot of them. Thank you, Beth, for that. In fact, Mark Crispin Miller sent me a note titled Bloody Carl. And he talks about how, the Clinton, back in the 90s, the right compiled a Clinton death list and kept it circulating as part of their long propaganda drive against the president. And this was pretty paranoid stuff. But Here's the Bush-Cheney, you know, obviously there are overt strikes against U.S. democracy, like the Patriot Act. But the unexplained things, the list is long, Mark says. There's Ray Lem, the Florida investigator, who just after he told Clint Curtis that he nailed the truth on the Bush Republicans' election fraud, committed suicide in Georgia, in quotes. Deborah Palfrey, the D.C. madam who threatened to go public with her client list, then suddenly committed suicide. Ethan Gibbs, whose company TrueVote, which specialized in non-computerized vote counting, starting to compete with Diebold and ES&S, died in a highway crash. His car was crushed. Don Wiley, the Harvard biologist, who also suddenly and wholly inexplicably committed suicide. And, you know, a whole bunch of others. This guy who was going to testify against Phil Gramm died just in time to stop his testimony when Karl Rove was working with Phil Gramm. Karl Rove was one of Enron's biggest shareholders. Questions surround the suicide of Enron's Cliff Baxter. Rove was working on John Ashcroft's Senate campaign when Mel Carnahan was killed in a plane crash. Paul Wellstone, of course, had spoken out against the Iraq war and against Rove. He was the political strategist. So, I mean, you know, again, maybe there's Twilight music, Zone music there, or maybe Karl Rove is in it up to his eyeballs in ways that it's difficult to even contemplate. Who knows? 866-303-2270. We'll be back with your calls right after this. You can drop into our live chat room, by the way, at tomhartmann.com. We don't have the Tom Vision running today because I'm doing the show from home instead of the studio. And tomorrow will, in all probability, be the same. So, but we'll be back with the Tom Vision over at AirAmerica.com as well. 45 minutes past the hour.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
What would Hartman do? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
All right, let's get down to some direct talk from DirecTV. At a time when the cost of almost everything around you is spiraling out of control, DirecTV puts you back in control with this amazing offer that locks in your price until 2010. Right now, you can get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for a full year. For a limited time, ask how to get 3 free months of HBO, Stars, and Showtime. That's 28 of the best premium movie channels free for 3 whole months. Lock in your savings until 2010 by switching to DirecTV today. Don't miss out. Call today. 888-561-DIRECTV. 888-561-DIRECTV. Call right now to get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for 12 months. 888-561-DIRECTV. Offer ends 12/31/08 and subject to credit approval. $23 bill credit requires rebate and enrollment in auto bill pay program. New DirecTV customers only. Leasing credit card required. Other conditions apply. Call for details.
You know, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, and hundreds, that money is backed by what is called the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I don't know about you, but I have no faith in this government. And as far as its credit rating, if the U.S. government were rated by one of these rating companies,
what would it be? Zero worth?
It's Mike Malloy.
I mean, how do you rate a nation that's $12 trillion in debt?
Evening, 8 to 11. AM 620 KPOJ. 620KPOJ.com.
Are the monthly payments you're receiving from a structured settlement not enough to keep up with your expenses? Do you need cash now? Well, now you can get the future money owed to you in a lump sum. For free information, call Peachtree Settlement Funding, 1-800-300-7153.
The money I was getting every month from my lawsuit just wasn't enough. Now we have the cash to finally pay off our credit cards.
Find out how you can turn your structured settlement into cash now, when you need it most, to pay off the bills that are piling up now.
Our adjustable rate mortgage payments were out of control. If we hadn't gotten this money, we might have ended up losing our house.
Getting this money was like getting my life back. Now I know I can pay my bills every month.
If you have a structured settlement, get the future money you have coming to you now. For your free information, call Peachtree Settlement Funding at 1-800-300-7153. That's 1-800-300-7153. 1-800-300-7153.
Here's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ.
Don't miss the 13th annual Les Schwab Invitational presented by Fred Meyer, Friday, December 26th through Sunday the 30th at Liberty High School in Hillsboro. 16 teams from Oregon, Washington, California, and New York. The 2008 Les Schwab Invitational includes 4 days of tourney play as well as slam dunk and three-point shootouts. Tickets on sale beginning December 26th, 8 o'clock at the high school box office.
And that's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station.
Oh, come, some of ye faithful, powerful and privileged. Oh, come, all ye special few to Bethlehem. Come, some of ye faithful,
perfectly attired.
Oh, come, some of ye faithful.
God doesn't invite some of the faithful. God invites all the faithful. So do we. The United Church of Christ. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. The United Church of Christ, where God is still speaking.
There are over 15 United Church of Christ congregations in the greater Portland, Vancouver area. To find a UCC church near you, go to ucc.org or look in your phone book for United Church of Christ.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
In the hearts of all people, both near and afar, Christmas everywhere. Feel the love of the season wherever you are, on the small country roads lined with green mistletoe, big city streets where a thousand lights glow. Let it be Christmas everywhere. Let heavenly music fill the air.
Happy holidays. 50 minutes after the hour. This morning, every week, I drop in on the morning show in Denver, on our affiliate in Denver, and usually it's Jay Marvin. This morning, David Sirota was filling in for him, and it's always nice to talk to my old friend David Sirota, great guy, and a brilliant commentator, and writes an extraordinary column and books, and just, you know, all around Renaissance man. And David made the point that we are competing economically with countries that are autocracies, that are not democracies. And here's this story that really, you know, one of the countries that holds a lot of our debt, one of the countries that buys a lot of our treasuries, one of the countries that's very much there for us, at least in theory, is Saudi Arabia. The headline, Saudi court tells girl aged 8, not 18, 8, she cannot divorce her husband, who is 50 years her senior. Saudi court has rejected a plea to divorce an 8-year-old girl married off by her father to a man who is 58, saying the case should wait until the girl reaches puberty. Lawyer Abdul Jil says the judge has dismissed the plea filed by the mother because she does not have the right to file such a case, and ordered that the plea should be filed by the girl herself when she reaches puberty. This is, I don't know how you would say it, other than pretty bizarre. It's you know, illustrates in many ways this point that I think was well made by David Sirota this morning, that when you're competing with countries that are not democracies, they operate in a whole different set of rules than you do. You know, some really strange stuff can happen. Some really strange stuff. Stephanie, let me know who's on line 10. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Alan in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah, Tom, how you doing?
Hey, Alan. Alan, I'm going to have to ask you to hold for a second. We've got that's our report from Talk Radio News on line 10, Stephanie? It is. Bob Ney with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com, on the line with us. Hey, Bob, welcome.
How are you?
I am fine. What's going on in the world this morning? And how are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, and happy holidays to everybody.
Thank you.
The Iraqi journalist
is going to start his trial on Wednesday, December 31st, for the shoe-throwing incident.
This is Mr. Al-Zaidi.
And that will be watched all over the world, but the Arab world in particular. And the leaders who attended the summit with President Bush have went back home, of course, a couple weeks ago, but they are now saying that we are subsidizing the auto industry. It's unfair, so they are reversing 500 products this month in Indonesia. Russia is hiking tariffs on imported cars, poultry, and pork. The Democrats...
Well, at the same time, by the way, Canada just announced that they're giving $3 billion to the automakers in Canada. Sweden has voted $3 billion for Saab. You know, Toyota's talking about their first loss. The Japanese have been subsidizing their automakers forever. We've never put up import tariffs to balance that, or we haven't since the 80s, basically, since Reagan. It seems like, you know, we should get with the program.
Exactly. And, of course, these leaders have went back and looked for reasons to now, you know, to do this. But it's going to cause, you know, some real economic problems. And on that basis, Speaker Pelosi, Majority Leader Reid are really giving a rapid effort to put together a stimulus bill and have it ready for the new president when he takes office. And that's still going on the Hill. Although many people are going home, they're working hard at that. And Barack Obama yesterday said he is promising to end George Bush's twisting of science to suit politics or ideology, meaning all the last-minute changes that George Bush is going through, trying to change different rules and regs. And, of course, we all know about the Christmas parting shot by Dick Cheney. It wasn't too merry of a Christmas. He attacked Joe Biden yesterday, of course, on television.
Yeah, and in fact, we're going to be talking about that in the next hour with Michael Ratner from the Center for Constitutional Rights. Why did Dick Cheney also, you know, admit that he was guilty of war crimes? Bob, we're talking with Bob Ney of the Talk Radio News Service, the former congressman from Ohio. And Bob, you were the only member of the House of Representatives, if my memory serves me right, who spoke Farsi.
And, that's correct.
And is familiar, intimately familiar with Iran from, I mean, if you speak a language, you get to understand their culture better than somebody who doesn't. In fact, you could argue that it's really the only way to understand a culture. What's, in your opinion, the situation with Iran relative to the United States at this moment, and how do you think that that might change as Barack Obama comes into office, given the people that he's putting into place in his foreign policy, in the foreign policy departments and offices that he's staffed so far?
I think there's an actual chance to actually accomplish something to make the world a safer place. The whole push by the Cheney-Bush regime was to did nothing for the whole situation to make anyone safer. Barack Obama was viciously attacked, of course, for saying that he would talk. He didn't say negotiate or give away, but he would talk. So I think you're going to have strength with Barack Obama, but people that are in the know on these issues, and I lived over there, but think tanks and everybody else, they're looking forward to the fact that you can use the stick and the carrot. It was only stick with George Bush, and it went nowhere. So
right.
There's a lot of – I'm optimistic that it can't be worse than what George Bush and Dick Cheney has done. And Dick Cheney wanted war and didn't get it, unfortunately, in his own mind.
Yeah, and you were the emissary who brought the message from Ahmadinejad to the Bush administration that he was willing to recognize Israel and let inspectors into the nuclear power plants, and they ignored that and instead prosecuted you. Do you think that there's a possibility of those two things happening?
I think there are chances for that to happen. And again, I'm not happy with the president of Iran, but you have to look beyond that and see what's going to be good for the world.
Yeah, and for our country as well.
That's right.
Well said. Bob Ney with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com. Thanks a lot, Bob.
Thank you.
So I always appreciate your insights.
Thank you.
We'll be back with Michael Ratner, the president of the Center for Constitutional Rights. MichaelRatner.com, his website, his new book, The Case Against Donald Rumsfeld, A Prosecution. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, Dick Cheney has confessed in the media to his participation, his acquiescence, his encouragement, his enthusiasm for war crimes, for things that we prosecuted Japanese soldiers for, put them in prison, things that German soldiers were prosecuted for. What should we do? Michael Ratner is with us. His blog, by the way, at Michael Ratner, there's one T in Ratner, michaelratner.com. He is, perhaps more importantly, the president of the Center for Constitutional Rights, and which has brought four, is it now, cases before the Supreme Court that you guys have won, Michael Ratner?
Yes, three, actually, in the Guantanamo litigation.
Right. Congratulations, and good on you for it.
Thank you, Tom.
You have a new book out. It's called The Case Against Donald Rumsfeld, A Prosecution. I'd like to get some information on that. But first, Dick Cheney, he has admitted that he's a war criminal. Why did he do so enthusiastically? There's a lot of speculation.
It's pretty extraordinary, Tom. That interview was really amazing. He basically said he was involved in the waterboarding and other torture tactics. He didn't use that word. Against a number of people at CIA secret sites. Now, why did he do it? You know, what comes to mind immediately is there's a debate going on in the administration as to whether to give pardons to the Cheneys of the world, including Bush, some kind of generic pardon, and I think he's pushing the envelope on that. He's saying to the president and saying to the people in the White House, we're guilty, you better give us a pardon. That's one thing he could be doing. I can't think of any other reason other than he's proud of it, and he wants to say to the, and he knows the American people are just going to not do anything about it. But I actually think it's a pardon. It's a ploy to get a pardon.
Well, speaking as somebody who's, you know, inside the media and pays a lot of attention to the media and how it works, there's one other possibility, and that is the old, you know, when you got bad news, get it out there fast, get out ahead of it. And so if he's the one who outs himself, then 6 months from now or a year from now, and the Justice Department starts digging into this or some congressional panel and they say, holy cow, it looks like Dick Cheney was responsible for waterboarding. The media will go, yeah, you know, he told us that last year. This is old news. We're not going to write a story on that.
You know, that's a good point. You know, you saw there was a recent, along with the Cheney confession, you saw that the Senate report, Levin and McCain together, 25 Republican and Democratic senators said that Rumsfeld was at the bottom of a whole other part of this torture program, Guantanamo, Iraq, et cetera. And the media, they paid it some attention, not much, but when I got calls from media people, they would say, well, isn't this old news? Don't we already know that? Rumsfeld, you know, signed these things, and it is old news in a way, but it's huge news that it was a bipartisan commission that did it, or committee. So you're right, I think that is a point that it may happen, but I still think the question of pardons is not settled yet.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I suspect that there's going to be a lot of that, and also I fear my concern, and love to get your thoughts on this, that just like the Ford administration pardoned Nixon, which was a huge mistake in my opinion, it didn't give us any closure on this, and then the Clinton administration chose not to look into Iran-Contra, the outgoing Bush administration,
yeah,
and Reagan administration. Which I think was a huge mistake. So we've got, you know, two major crimes committed by presidents or people within the White House that were never seriously investigated, never seriously pursued, that the Obama administration, particularly Joe Biden over the weekend saying we want to look forward and not backwards, the Obama administration may well give the Bush administration a pass on this stuff in the name of let's get things done, sort of like Harry Reid lets Republicans say, we're going to filibuster that, and he just goes, oh, no, I'm going to roll right over, you know. It just,
you know,
I think,
Tom,
it would be a tragedy.
There's no statement I think I hate more in this whole context than a statement like Biden saying we're going to look forward and not backward. Because when you think about going after people, making them, holding them criminally responsible, starting an investigation, what that's all about is looking forward. It's saying that we don't want there to be torture again, and the way we're going to deter that or prevent it is by prosecuting and investigating people who have done torture. How else do you stop torture going forward? All the laws in the world aren't going to do it. You can't adding to you a law, proof a law. The president says he's above the law, so you got to have prosecution. So that's looking forward. I mean, a statement like that, that it's looking backwards, just is a complete misunderstanding. When you punish a burglar, you know, you're not punishing him for conduct. You are punishing him for conduct in the past, but you're punishing him so that that conduct doesn't recur in the future. That's what you do, and it's the same with these guys.
Yeah. Well, and you could also flip it around and say that if you really don't want to look back, then let's just issue a blanket pardon to all criminals in the United States, because all prosecutions are looking back.
There you go. And then you and I will leave, and where will we live, Tom?
Yeah, there you go. It's So we're talking with Michael Ratner, the president of the Center for Constitutional Rights. MichaelRatner.com is his blog. And the Center for Constitutional Rights, Michael, what's the website?
CCRjustice.org. CCRjustice.org. On that website, you'll see a lot about the book, The Trial of Donald Rumsfeld. You'll also see our 100 Days campaign, which really is a push for Obama to do a number of things in the first 100 days, much like Roosevelt did after the Great Depression.
Which is a great and wise idea. Michael Ratner, you have a new book out. It's called The Case Against Donald Rumsfeld, A Prosecution. Who is going to conduct this prosecution, or would be best to conduct it in your mind? You've got Vince Bugliosi out there suggesting in his book, the prosecution of George W. Bush for murder, that state, county, you know, local jurisdictional prosecutors could and should prosecute George W. Bush if people within their jurisdictions died in the Iraq War. They could prosecute him for murder. What's your particular take on Don Rumsfeld?
But our take on it, Vince did the Iraq War, local prosecutors. We did torture. The torture program against Cheney, against Tenet, against Rumsfeld, against Bush. Bush and Cheney, of course, at this point, till they leave office, cannot be prosecuted. But our goal was really to try and lay this out as a trial, if they were actually to be put on trial in the United States. That's the debate that's going on now. That's the push. Some people are saying do nothing. Some people are saying truth commissions. I'm not sure you need a truth commission, as you just began this segment with. We already have confessions. We don't need a truth commission to go say we have confessions again. We need an investigation. We need a prosecutor appointed. If we're not going to get that here, if we're going to get pardons here, if either Obama fails or we get pardons, we're going to have to go to Europe, which I think will be very amenable now, in light of these confessions and documents that have come out of both the Senate as well as Cheney's mouth.
You're talking about the International Court in The Hague?
Well, we're talking about national courts in different states.
I see.
We're talking about the Spanish court that did the Chilean dictator Pinochet.
Right.
We're talking about the Italian court that currently has 24 CIA agents being tried in absentia, means they're not there, but being tried for abduction of a kidnapping of an Egyptian cleric off the streets of Italy. So Europe is going to be up in arms about this. They're going to be up in, if there's pardons, of course, Europe goes straight ahead, because pardons don't apply to war crimes or to torture, except in the United States. Our courts will probably say they're okay. But Europe doesn't recognize, you can't pardon those kind of things.
Bill Clinton was prosecuted. Bill Clinton was prosecuted not just for not just in the House of Representatives and the Senate, where they held a trial. They conducted an indictment called an impeachment in the House, and he was indicted, and then they held a trial in the Senate, and he was one vote shy of being convicted. But, you know, there was also, as I recall, some sort of case down in Arkansas that had to do with his law license. The Republicans have no reluctance to prosecute Democrats over, in my opinion, frivolous things. I mean, somebody having sex with a consenting adult in the White House with whom they're not married, and then lying about it. That's irrelevant, in my opinion, particularly compared to the death of hundreds of thousands, arguably millions of people, and the displacement of people, the destruction of the U.S. reputation around the world, the tearing up of the Constitution. Why the double standard, Michael Ratner?
I mean, I agree it's a double standard. What I notice, and I think you put your finger on it, is the Republicans are much more willing to stand for what they believe in, to play total hardball, and to get their points done, whether it's a persecution of Clinton, which is what it was, or a filibuster, or all kinds of things in the House and the Senate, or all kinds of things in the executive. You see, the Democrats just have a much weaker backbone. They're very afraid of being called weak on national security. They're just weak-kneed on this stuff. I find it to be utterly frustrating. Right now, you have Cheney's admission, and boom, you can't get him.
Yeah, I had a Democratic member of Congress. We just have 20 seconds left here. I had a Democratic member of Congress off the record say to me that he was concerned that if they tried to do any kind of prosecution, that it would destroy the Democrats, that the Republicans were, you know, hurt by the prosecution of Clinton, and therefore the Democrats shouldn't do it. Seems like a lousy.
Yeah, right. As you said, there's a huge difference between what Clinton supposedly did and a war in Iraq and torturing hundreds of people or thousands around the world.
Yeah, and killing no small number of them as well, by the way.
Correct.
You know, there's
a number of these people. A lot of these people who were tortured were killed.
Died in these torture chambers.
That's right.
Michael Ratner is president of the Center for Constitutional Rights. That website is ccrjustice.org. His blog, Michael Ratner with one T, R-A-T-N-E-R, michaelratner.com. Check it out. And his new book, The Case Against Donald Rumsfeld, A Prosecution, a great holiday gift. You know, you can order it online and just give somebody a printout of the receipt if it doesn't arrive in time for the holidays. Michael, thanks for dropping by.
Thanks, Tom.
Good talking with you.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoying Republicans by defending the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Tom Hartman here. You've heard me talk a lot about the special men's vitamin called Beta Prostate. I keep bringing it up because every single man listening should take care of their prostate health. When you're younger, your prostate gland is about the size of a walnut, but as you grow older, it can swell up to the size of a lemon. This could mean getting up at night for bathroom trips, difficulty urinating, even sexual dysfunction. So you got to see your doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate every day. Not too long ago, we invited the formulator of Beta Prostate, research chemist Roger Mason, on my show. He told us that prostate problems are a growing epidemic, and statistics say that 3/4 of all American men will eventually have prostate problems. And now Roger Mason will be extending his special offer, buy two, get one free. And he's even throwing in his book, The Natural Prostate Cure, for free, plus a money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-954-8255. 0803. That's 1-800-954-0803. Call now because this is an amazing value. 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
Are you waking up with Carl Wolfson and friends?
These are less popular suggestions. Abraham Lincoln.
6 to 9.
The Obama's first dog. What name it could be?
Promise. Because he promised the girls and he promised us.
Elephant eater.
How about lipstick?
How about rogue?
You've got to have southpaw. I'd like to give it a local name and name it Mutt Safino, the weather dog.
It's Carl Wolfson.
As Abraham Lincoln said.
Morning 6 to 9.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Portland's only progressive talk station.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services term life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. Now, we'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a 40-year-old man on blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price? $20 a month.
Thanks, Joel. See how affordable term life insurance can be for you. Call 1-800-900-1665. That's 1-800-900-1665. Or go to selectquote.com. SelectQuote. We shop. You save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health and other factors. Not available in all states.
Are the monthly payments you're receiving from a structured settlement not enough to keep up with your expenses? Do you need cash now? Well, now you can get the future money owed to you in a lump sum. For free information, call Peachtree Settlement Funding, 1-800-300-7153.
The money I was getting every month from my lawsuit just wasn't enough. Now we have the cash to finally pay off our credit cards.
Find out how you can turn your structured settlement into cash now, when you need it most, to pay off the bills that are piling up now.
Our adjustable rate mortgage payments were out of control. If we hadn't gotten this money, we might have ended up losing our house.
Getting this money was like getting my life back. Now I know I can pay my bills every month.
If you have a structured settlement, get the future money you have coming to you now. For your free information, call Peachtree Settlement Funding at 1-800-300-7153. That's 1-800-300-7153. 1-800-300-7153.
This week only, you can get the new TomTom 1-125 for under $100. It's the GPS that works right out of the box, and at just $99.95, it's the perfect holiday gift at the perfect price. TomTom, go confidently.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
Prevent your child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Minutes past the hour, the second night of Hanukkah tonight, and Christmas coming down the road here 2 days hence, Christmas Eve tomorrow. That's a wonderful time of the year. And of course, the winter solstice for all our pagan listeners, and Kwanzaa. I've got to nail down the dates on Kwanzaa. Don't have that in front of me. I'm sorry. Right now, Kim Bobo is with us, the founder and executive director of the Interfaith Worker Justice Organization. IWJ.org is the website, and author of the just-published book, Wage Theft in America, Why Millions of Working Americans Are Not Getting Paid and What We Can Do About It. Kim, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Great to be with you.
Why are millions of working Americans not getting paid, and what can we do about wage theft in America?
Well, millions of workers are having billions of dollars stolen from their paychecks by employers who don't pay the minimum wage even though they're supposed to. They don't pay overtime even though they're supposed to. They misclassify workers, call them independent contractors when they're really employees. They steal their tips from restaurant workers or from Dunkin' Donuts workers. Or they just flat out don't pay them. Sometimes they're doing sort of short-term work for them and they just at the end of the job don't pay them. Sometimes somebody gets fired or laid off. They don't give them their last paychecks. And frankly, you know, we think that this is just a small problem. It's not a small problem. It really is right now affecting millions of workers in the U.S.
Interesting. Now, I also wanted to talk with you about the Congresswoman Hilda Solis, who is the new labor secretary designate, I guess, or appointee, or whatever.
That's
the official title.
That's right.
And she seems to me like, so far, of all of the appointments that Barack Obama has made, one of the most progressive and one of the most encouraging signs of the future of this administration. Your thoughts?
Oh, I'll have to say I was thrilled. I must say she was not somebody, you know, I'd heard her name, but I really didn't know much about her before she was selected. But frankly, we were worried about who was going to be appointed because this just seems like a critical, critical position. And I don't think we could have gotten a better person. In fact, in my book, Wage Theft in America, I have a whole chapter on Frances Perkins, who was the Secretary of Labor under FDR. And is really kind of the person behind the fact that we have a minimum wage, we have a Social Security bill, you know, that behind a lot of our government protections that we have right now. And I argued in the book that we need somebody in leadership like Frances Perkins. I think we've got it with Hilda Solis. She seems absolutely terrific.
That's great. If you accept the proposition that we have a supply-demand economy, that supply is produced by worker productivity, in other words, producing things, that demand is produced by workers' wages, and as wages go up, demand goes up, which strengthens the economy. And over the last 28 years with the Reaganomics war on organized labor, of course, we've had a decrease in wages, a steady decrease in wages over the last 28 years. Even through the Clinton years, you know, as we moved into the so-called service economy and our manufacturing jobs went overseas, to have somebody in a position to increase wages for workers and strengthen worker rights would actually increase demand in a supply-demand economy, which is ultimately, you know, I mean, there's short-term stimulus. You can give people a little extra cash, you know, send them a check for $600. That'll last a week. But really, over the long term, if you want to strengthen an economy, you have to raise the wages of average working people who spend virtually 100% of their paycheck.
Well, that's right. And, you know, I've been arguing along with my book that, you know, what better economic stimulus for the society than making sure workers get paid, right,
yes,
when their wages are stolen. But I think it really is more than just when wages are stolen. It's like we've got to rebuild the economy based on workers becoming middle-class workers, and we've seen a real decline in that. And so I think she's going to be somebody who's going to help. I don't know if how much you know about her, but you know, let me just tell you a few of the reasons why I think she's just going to be fabulous for us. First, she personally gets this stuff, right? Her dad was a teamster. Her mom was a line worker. I mean, she really comes from a family that had to work. And so she really is connected with working people's struggle. Secondly, she has fought regularly for workers' rights. I mean, I was reading this thing the other day that said that she had taken money out of her political coffers, and you know politicians don't do that very often, to run a statewide minimum wage campaign in the state of California because the minimum wage had not been raised. And so she used her political money to put a ballot initiative on the ballot, right? She really, she invested her own resources in that. Third, she's been on the board of the American Rights at Work, which is the leading nonprofit providing education on the Employee Free Choice Act, right? So she understands the important role that unions need to play in the society and wants to strengthen them, and she's been overtly connected on all this. Fourth, she gets immigrant issues. She's not only a daughter of an immigrant, but she represents an immigrant district, so she's going to understand the importance of the Department of Labor protecting immigrant workers and being very clear about that. And she's connected to our political leaders. So I just think she couldn't be better for us at this point in time.
I absolutely agree. Very well said, Kim Bobo. She is the author of Wage Theft in America and the founder and executive director of the Interfaith Worker Justice Organization. IWJ.org is the website. Thanks, Kim.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Bye-bye.
Great talking with you. 27 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Wasn't Jesus a community organizer? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Could it be? Welcome back. 32 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. And, getting my... There we go. Now I'm talking into the right side of the microphone. I couldn't figure out why did that sound right. Professor Marco Tedesco is with us. He's with the Department of Earth and Atmospheric Sciences and NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, Crest Center, City College in New York. A SUNY fellow, a University of Maryland, Baltimore County, affiliated with the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center. Websites nasa.gov and ccny.cuny.edu. And Professor Marco Tedesco, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
The American Geophysical Union shared your name with us and suggested that you were one of the leading experts in the world on ice melt, on Arctic ice melt. What's going on with Arctic ice melt around the world right now?
Well, what we do actually, we observe the sea ice in the Arctic and the Greenland ice sheet using satellite sensors. So there are sensors flying about 800 kilometers above our head. And with those measurements, we can study what the evolution of the sea ice and the Greenland ice sheet is starting in 1979 and going through our days. What we observed this year was that the sea ice extent was the second minimum, so it was the second lowest extent starting in 1979. And we also observed a new snow melt record over the Greenland ice sheet in the northern part of the Greenland, actually.
Well, I was going to say, so this is consistent with the story that came out of the AGU conference in San Francisco last week, that over 2 trillion tons of landlocked ice have melted, much of it run off, much of it evaporated in the last decade.
So the study that I think Scott Lutke was reporting from NASA Goddard They're using a different cellulite, which is the gray cellulite. So they are able to measure how much ice is lost using gravity measurements.
Right.
So that's what they do. They just, you know, sort of weight the Earth using the cellulite measurements in 2003, and they keep weighting the Earth, and they can measure how much, you know, the Earth has lost during this, you know, diet, sort of, and they can allocate how much ice is lost. And this is consistent with what has been observed in Greenland, where there was an increase of both surface temperature measured by ground stations and increased melting that we observed from satellites.
Right.
And it's, of course, also consistent with reduced sea ice that we have been witnessing this year, and also the record that we observed the past year in 2007.
Yeah. I understand you're calling in from out of the country.
Yes. Yes.
Where are you? Where are you right now, sir?
Well, actually, I'm in Brazil now.
Ah, okay. Thus, the
it's not exotic field work involved in snow. We are just enjoying a few days of vacation here.
Oh, good, good. Well, I hope you're having a great time, and that explains the poor phone quality. Professor Marco Tedesco, the Department of Earth and Atmospheric Sciences, and NOAA Crest Center. And NASA, the increase in ice melt that we're seeing around the world, two questions that interrelate. Number one, is this a symptom, in your opinion, of global warming or global climate change? And number two, could that account for the dramatic increase that we're seeing in the severity of storms? Most Americans are familiar with them, although they're happening all over the world. Every continent has its own stories of disastrous storms. From we're having the wild snowstorm right here in Portland, for example, Hurricane Katrina kind of things. All these. I realize no storm has a little flag on it that says I'm caused by global warming. But is there, in your opinion, a relationship here?
I tend not to have a strong opinion on this because it is not really my expertise field. And so because this the news are moving faster and faster, I might not be really updated on what are the latest, what is the latest information. Regarding the first question, there is a sign of warming in the Arctic. There is a sign that surface temperature over the Greenland ice sheet has been increasing for the past 30 years. And there is a sign that the Arctic system is reacting to this warming. There are two major causes for this. One is the natural variability, and the other one is the anthropogenic effect, of course. And now separating the effect of the human-induced changes and the natural variability, it is something that it is still a going-on process. What we know now is that all climate models that have been predicting the increase in the surface temperatures that we are observing, they cannot match the such increase if they are not forced with human impact, considering the human impact on the CO2 emission and other greenhouse gases. So under this point of view, the climate models suggest that the anthropogenic effect is playing a fundamental role in the observed and modeled surface temperature increase.
Right, and by anthropogenic, you mean human-caused, and by forcing, you mean what's driving up the temperature of the planet.
Yes, this is what the models suggest, and there is a very strong evidence that starting about 30 years ago, since the satellite era there where we have data, there's been an increase in the Arctic in terms of temperatures that are, of course, causing the increased melting and increased retreat of the sea ice.
Right. Professor Tedesco, is it possible that this is being driven by increased solar radiation?
Well, the solar radiation, we are now at the minimum of the solar radiation of the some of the sun activity. The solar radiation can play an important role when you talk about the cloud effect and what we call the albedo effect. When I talk to my students, I always talk about, you know, if you're wearing a T-shirt, a white shirt under the sun, and your friend is wearing a black shirt, your friend will get warmer sooner than you are because the black absorbs more solar radiation. What happens to the snow is that whenever it gets older, and so the air temperature gets older because the more melting makes the snow older, it absorbs more solar radiation. So even if there is no change in the solar activity, the increased melting might help to increase further melting in what we call a positive feedback mechanism that is contributing to melt more snow. And, of course, clouds are playing also an important role because the clouds, they can mask the solar radiation, but at the same time, they provide more heat to the surface below clouds. And the relationship between the change in the clouds and the ice sheet melting is still something that needs to be investigated carefully.
Very interesting. Professor Marco Tedesco, thank you for being with us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
And more information over at NASA.gov, the website. 866-303-2270, our telephone number, Alan in St. Louis. Hey, Alan, thanks for hanging on here. What's up?
Okay. About 6-8 months ago, I talked to you on Carl's, with you and Carl, about Carnahan's plane accident.
Mm-hmm.
And that really Rove didn't have anything to do with it. It was a real nasty night that night. Mm-hmm. And, the crash happened about 5 miles from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember driving home to watch the debates that night. And could never understand, and nobody could ever understand why they flew that night. It was just such a bad night. So it was definitely pilot error on that. But we being Democrats, we have to have all our ducks in a row if we're going to prosecute any of these people if they ever do get prosecuted. So, I mean, we can't have any false innuendos or, you know, any mistakes whatsoever because we're Democrats.
Yeah.
The Republicans can do what they want, but we have to be.
Right. We're not going to do a Vince Foster here.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Alan, thank you very much. Jerry in Washington, D.C. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
Great. What's up?
Well, my theory on the whole Bush-Cheney crime family is that Nancy Pelosi and Rockefeller, and Cheney said this in the interview on Sunday, they were told, he took them down to a basement in the White House, and they were told that we were torturing people. None of them raised an objection. Pelosi, Jay Rockefeller, a couple of Republicans.
Right.
That is why we will never see the prosecution of these people, because there will be a lot of Democrats and Republicans in the House and the Senate that will fall with it.
These were all the members of the various intelligence committees, as well as the House leadership. Yeah, there is, you know, I've heard that argument, and it makes a certain amount of sense that they were arguably complicit. But, geez, who knows? I think you make a good point, Jerry, and we're just going to have to wait and see how this shakes out. Certainly the Republicans would say that they're complicit if it became a partisan thing. And maybe they are. I mean, you could argue that these folks, if they were told that torture is going on and they were told it explicitly and they were given all the details and they failed to raise objections, I think you could make a strong argument and it wouldn't be a good one. Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. It is 45 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, 866-303-2270. Our telephone number, tomhartman.com, if you want to drop into our live chat room. And airamerica.com, of course, as well. There's a blog over there and a lot of great information. Our Tom Vision, our camera is not working today. Probably won't tomorrow because I'm doing the show from home. But we will be back with it later in the week. Stick around.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Fighting mind-numbing incompetence. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
This week on Air America and AirAmerica.com.
Hey, Tom Hartman here.
Hey, this is Rachel Maddow.
This is your new best friend, Lionel.
Hi, it's Ron Reagan.
Hey, everyone, I'm Ron Kuby.
Wishing all Air America listeners,
your family and friends, everyone roughly connected with you,
happy holidays.
As the Zen Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh likes to remind us, peace is every step. I hope your time is filled with joy and love.
And if you get bored staring at your family or arguing with them during the holidays, check out our website at AirAmerica.com.
This Monday, some of the NHL's brightest young stars take the stage as the Penguins battle the Sabres. At 7 p.m. Eastern, it's the NHL on Versus.
One timer by Malkin. Score! Crosby! 2-1!
Pittsburgh, Sidney Crosby, and Evgeny Malkin have dominated the top of the scoring chart, but they've got company this season as Buffalo's Thomas Vanek has been on fire.
Thomas Vanek! Right place, right time. That's number 20.
It's an Eastern Conference showdown between the Penguins and the Sabres. Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, the NHL is on Versus.
Ed Schultz.
The biggest story on the face of this earth is America. What do you really think of your workers?
Noon to 3.
The partisan divide is alive and well. The attack on the working folk of America is now in full gear. What's the difference between the governor of Illinois selling off a Senate seat...
The Ed Schultz Show.
...and some southern Republican senator protecting his backside for the next election...
Noon to 3.
...by cutting the head off American auto manufacturer.
AM 620 KPOJ.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called...
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life Agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. Now, we'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a 40-year-old man on blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price? $20 a month.
Thanks, Joel. See how affordable term life insurance can be for you. Call 1-800-900-1665. That's 1-800-900-1665. Or go to selectquote.com. SelectQuote. We shop. You save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health and other factors. Not available in all states.
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state. Why spend more than you have to on your life insurance? Did you know that term life insurance rates have fallen over 60% in the last 10 years? I'm Byron Udell, founder of AccuQuote. At AccuQuote.com, we monitor the rates, features, and financial strength of hundreds of life insurance products. For example, a healthy 40-year-old can protect his family with $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $19 a month. Female rates are even lower. And don't forget to ask us about the new term life policies that guarantee your money back even if you don't die. Since 1986, we've helped hundreds of thousands of people just like you save a fortune on their life insurance. Why not find out how much you can save? Write down this number and call today for your free quote. Call 800-500-6963. One five-minute call is all it takes. 800-500-6963. That's 800-500-6963.
During the get-together with the Volvo Season of Giving event, lease or purchase a new Volvo XC70 and get a $750 holiday gift card. Call 1-800-480-9012 or see your Portland area Volvo retailer for details. This event ends January 2nd.
So you love listening to the radio. At work, at the park, at the gym, at your kids' play. Well, all thanks to the iHeartRadio app on your iPhone. Download it for free at iHeartRadio.com. We think you'll heart it a lot.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hey, happy holidays. Happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah, happy Merry Christmas, happy Solstice. And whatever I'm missing there, I'm sure, you know, I'm not sure what the Flying Spaghetti Monster adherents celebrate this time of year. But anyhow, tip of the hat to B-roll, going back to our Geeky Science Rocks where we were talking about oxytocin. That's the hormone, not OxyContin, the drug Rush Limbaugh was fond of. He says, maybe oxytocin explains what happened when Bush looked into Putin's eyes. Yeah. And doing the show from home today, and Higgins, oh, there he is. He's now licking his face. You know how cats groom themselves? See, an old joke about that. Cats are not clean animals. They're actually covered with cat spit.
Anyhow, Higgins and Fang singing White Christmas. Well, it's actually not really Higgins and Fang. It's from the Jingle Cats, the famous Jingle Cats. But I thought it was great. That's a good one. 866-303-2270, our phone number. And Steve in Oak Grove, California. Hey, Steve, what's on your mind today?
Well, actually, as I listen to your show, things keep changing. But first of all, that you talk about there's no rules on liar loans and that there's no umpire or baseball diamond or gridiron.
No, I didn't say there was none. There were some. Mostly they weren't enforced. But the point
exactly.
is that those people who suggest that we should have no rules are calling for a baseball game with no umpire.
Now, I happen to be a special federal prosecutor for the last 36 years. It's a long story how and why. But for brevity, I'll just explain. It's the prosecutorial discretion to decide what to prosecute, what not to prosecute, that creates the problem. For instance, historically, we've never executed at the state or federal level any wealthy person in the United States. Obviously, the justice system works differently for the poor than it does for the rich. The other one is that the I'll shift gears here and go into something. You're talking recently about Nancy Pelosi finding out about torture and waterboarding. Well, Jane Herman also knew about that, and she's a lawyer, and she should have known better to take the case to the Judge Advocate General Services of the Armed Forces or directly to a U.S. District Court in chambers in camera because it's an act of war against the United States.
Well, possibly, Steve. The fact of the matter is that neither you nor I know what those people learned when they were informed of these things.
Well, yeah, and then again, Nancy Pelosi isn't a lawyer, so I expect her to do that, but Jane Herman is.
Yeah. But we don't know what they knew, and so I don't think that we can suggest.
Well, no, we can't.
Do know that a bipartisan commission concluded that Don Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney and probably George Bush, certainly John Yoo, were complicit in setting up, in creating an environment and maintaining an environment in which torture was not just possible but was rewarded, essentially.
Yeah, well, it's this thing with prosecutorial discretion. Another thing I'm aware of personally is that veterans cases are brought to the U.S. Magistrate Court around the country. And, of course, when a U.S. attorney does that, they have to do it under penalty of perjury. Routinely, it's expected of them.
Yeah.
And so I've seen a case like 40 cases dismissed, so-called the interest of justice, when they were put forth before the court under oath, supposedly honest cases. And this is probably going around the country, and that might explain why we have 23 million veterans and 2% are getting any medical care at all from the VA system, and only 1% are getting any kind of a pension, because it's illegal to hire a lawyer, or it has been illegal until 1988. It was a felony to spend $10 to hire a lawyer to sue to the VA, and now it's a high-grade federal misdemeanor.
Jeez.
Instead of being a 3-year felony, it's a 1-year federal misdemeanor sentence if you don't get permission from a special court back in Washington, D.C., to pay your lawyer anything and have your lawyer accept anything.
That's an abomination. Steve,
yeah,
thanks.
Sure.
Thanks for the heads up. I've got to move along. I've got a bunch of calls.
Yeah, I understand. That's okay.
Thank you very much.
I'll call you back another time. Okay,
yeah, you made your point very well, and I appreciate it. Bob in Minneapolis. Hey, Bob, what's up?
Hey, we were talking earlier about why the Democrats seem to be weaker than the Republicans, and I think it comes back to my favorite carping point, which is we need campaign finance reform. And the connection is simple. The corporations own the Congress because they fund it,
yep.
They fund the elections. They also own the media, so they have a gigantic propaganda hammer.
Yep.
And the Democrats don't have as much of a stake in that as the Republicans do. So Democrats who do anything get hammered disproportionately by the media, and then with campaign finance reform, they also don't get reelected because they don't get funded.
Yeah.
And the reason I come back to CFR is because we, the people, can do this. We need a grassroots effort that starts now and goes on for a decade to elect candidates who are committed to CFR. We need to populate the Congress with
CFR being campaign finance reform. Yeah.
Yep.
No, you're singing my song and Bernie Sanders as well and a whole bunch of other members of Congress. I think every member of Congress would probably breathe a giant sigh of relief. You know, there may be a few of the Ted Stevenses still out there who are you know, getting something on the back end personally and like the system as it is. But I think by and large, you're absolutely right. And there's a lot of members of Congress who are just tortured by this. You know, every senator, every U.S. senator wakes up every morning knowing if they don't raise, you know, 5 days for every day the Senate is in session, if they don't raise $20,000 that day, they're not going to get reelected. And, you know, how corrupt is that? How broken a system can you have when our elected members of Congress know that if today they don't make their first priority raising $20,000, they're kicked out on their butt? Bob, brilliantly said. Thank you very much for the call. Tomorrow, certified career coach Wendy Gelberg will be here to talk about how to hang on to or get a job in a recession, how to stand out in a crowded marketplace, plus holiday tipping. Who do you tip? How do you know how much? And, of course, the best of the rest of the news, let's throw Dick Cheney in jail, and your calls right here on the Tom Hartman Program, your radio support group for We the People. Don't forget, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmanRadio.com.